The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
The message, the axe head. Do the axe head. There's times in our lives that we just blow it. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Yeah. Just blow it. It could be anything. Now, wait a minute. We're doing axe head, right? Everybody decide? This is the only time you'll ever be able to vote on anything here. Yeah, there's times that we, for some reason or for one reason or another, just blow it. You know, just blow it. I've never in my life thought to myself when I got up in the morning, today I'm going to start a fight with my wife. That's not an option in my life. See, when I'm mad at her, it goes on for maybe an hour. She comes up, she throws her arms around me, she gives me a couple kisses. She, oh, honey, and I'm done. I'm toast. But when she's mad, months of solitary. Bread and water, that's it. But so I don't look to fight. I don't look to make trouble, but you know, I do. Have you ever said something to your wife, your boss, your husband, and you just wish you could get it back? Okay, it's out there now, and oh my goodness, I can't even believe I said it. One time I tried that. I said, who said that, honey? I didn't say that. There must be someone else in the house. I don't know who he is. Yeah, you schizophrenic person, you. So, there's times, that we're doing so good in our Christian walk, and, you know, we just lose it. There's times that we're really involved with the ministry, and very well could be a ministry of your own. Okay, like, what I mean by that is you wake up, and you go, Pastor Ben said something about devotions. And I'll pick this up, and I'm going to do a devotion this morning. That's a ministry of yourself. You're going to do that devotion. Or how about reading the Bible in a year? You know, you've heard of reading the Bible in a year, and you get like a couple weeks in, and you go, and you just kind of quit. Or you're reading devotions, and you said, you know what, this year I'm going to go to at least one or two services on Wednesday night. I'm trying to make all the Sundays, unless I'm out on Memorial Day at the beach kicking Pastor Ben and kicking sand in his face. Actually, if I had, I wanted to go too. I almost went. You guys had nobody up here this week. A rest is good. Matter of fact, my message this morning, and part of it, it's like, we need to get away sometimes. You know, we don't get away. If we don't set apart, then we fall apart. I've been there. If you just don't take a rest occasionally, you just fall apart. But besides that, what I'm saying is, you're at the beach. You've got your devotions, but you just don't do them because all of a sudden there's something happened. You started off good. You got in the water and you're snorkeling and you see some cool stuff through God's lenses of His Word. And you're looking to maybe even go buy and invest in some deep sea, deep snorkel, diving equipment to go deeper into God. And so you're snorkeling and you bought it and you're just, and then all of a sudden, you know, one day you wake up and the snorkel stuff's over there, hasn't been used for a while. And your ambitions of being a deep sea diver is just gone. And what happened? You had all intentions. and furthering your walk with God. And I'm not talking about church. It's at least, because church ain't going to get you in heaven. Church is not going to, you're not, it's just like, come on in, you're a good old Baptist or Calvary Chapel. No, your relationship with God. And something I was going to speak today as well is, do we really believe in the hereafter? Eternity, heaven, you know, you're Christians. We're all Christians. Anyone not a Christian here? Come on, you got to have one person that I can bring to the Lord today. Come on. No? Okay. We're all Christians. We all believe in heaven. Do we really believe that? I think if we really, really believe that, we would then live our lives differently. Amen? If I really, really believe that, I live my life differently. Here's what happens. We all believe in that, but we forget we believe in that. You know what I'm saying? Here's why. I believe in that. I teach it. I believe in that. Lord, please come. Maranatha, Maranatha, come get us. You know, we're ready to go home. But then, you know, I'll be somewhere and I'll forget I believe in that. And I'll get all upset because my wife has now got some of my stuff and out on the lawn selling it for a yard sale. Now, I haven't really used the stuff in, 40 years? But it's my stuff. And I love my stuff. And it better be down there in the dark place in the corner of the basement where I put it 30 years ago. And if I don't see it down there, I'm upset. It's my stuff. Thus pursues the argument and the month of no eating. So you understand what I'm saying, right? We forget. If we could just, God, please remind me. Let's remember that we remember that, like those, I know my brother Mike's got a couple beautiful collies, and but he's got these shot collars. And, you know, one of them don't care. He'll run right through the collar. So, you know, as mean as Mike is, he put it on his belly. Now that dog stops. But it's like that. If we had a shock collar, or a belly collar, that we could just, every time we forget, you know, that, I forget eternity forever. That's where I'm really, really going to spend my life, is eternity. And we're just on a spirit. We get a new body, the Bible tells us. We believe that, right? I mean, many times Christians don't even know that, unless it's taught to them, that we actually get a new body. Now, you've got to have a body to get a body. Okay? So, what he does, he resurrects the body, the old body, wherever it is, in the sea, burned up, whatever. God can do that. And then he just switches it out where you have a new body. He takes that body and makes it a brand new body. And so, you know, we have new bodies and we're in heaven as forever, and we have jobs and we have things we can do up there, and it's just all kinds of neat stuff. But see, we forget that. We act like the heathen that thinks that all there is to this life is this and that's it. Man, I would be so disappointed with God if, you know, I died and he said, that's it. Rot. Are you kidding me? But see, he sent Jesus Christ that the world has to confess. The world back in that day had to confess, because he got up out of that tomb and walked around for how many days? Do you guys remember? 40 days. That's right. And a bunch of people saw me, 500 at a time, and he'd just teach and everything. And Josephus was a great Jewish, if you've heard me say this before, he's a great Jewish historian. I don't think he might have got saved, but he wrote this big book about like that I get into sometimes, bitty, 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 bitty print. And it said that during the time that Jesus rose that and walked around and did his thing, that all the Jewish Sadducees and Pharisees, they took an extended vacation. And the Romans, you couldn't see them. Antonio Fortress is where all the Romans stayed there. And that was their fortress, like an embassy, okay? And that was emptied. in Jerusalem. They were scared, man. They were like, dude, this is a ghost. You know, and so so I look at that and I go, I can live after I die. It's an example. You know, if we didn't have any example, poor those Buddhists, man, they look at their belly buttons all day long and they ain't got nothing to go for when they die. And you know, this reincarnation, come on. We listened to a lady from India, Erin, Wednesday night. She was so funny. You guys should have went here. She's really funny, wasn't she? And she was talking about the caste system and, you know, and the whole, you know, system. And if you're the best thing you'd be reincarnated is a cow. I don't want to be a stinking cow. Give me a break. So, you know, it's so funny. These things are so funny, but people believe in them. But we have an actual person that actually got up out of the tomb and he actually beat death. I don't know about you guys, but you know, back in my BC days, sometimes I still bet guys at lunches on football games. You know, who my Packers going to win or whatever. Look, if I'm betting, I'm betting on Jesus, man. I'm betting on Jesus. He beat death. And then he tells us, in red letters, by the way, written by his blood. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Jesus says, I'm the life. I beat death. Follow me. Because I'm the real deal. I'm the one that got up out of the tomb and beat death and walked around. Now, and by the way, heaven is forever. Paul tells us that we have different crowns when we get to heaven. Not that we need to work like we're working our job to get a promotion. That is not grace. It's all on grace. Here's the final straw, and then we'll get into our lesson. There's only one thing that our Father is going to say to us when we get to heaven. You know what that is? How much money did you give to Pastor Ben? I'm glad you're laughing. He's going to say, what have you done with my son? That's it. What have you done with my son? Wow. Well, I went to church. I don't want to talk about church. He probably, at church, it kind of makes me ill. What have you done with my son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, your Christ? What have you done with him? What's up all that? What have you done with him in here, Lord? Yeah. And then what have you done with him out there? Those are only two things. Only two things. What's going on here? Do you believe? Are you a believer? Have you asked him into your heart? That's all. Well, yeah. Okay, cool. Now what have you done with that? What do you mean, Lord? Have I gone out and witnessed everybody? No. Have you spent time with him? Because see, as soon as you say, yes, Jesus, come to my heart, I don't care who you are. If you believe that, oh, it's on. It's on, because what you have done, you surrendered to God and said, Lord, whatever you want to do for the rest of my life to turn me into the resemblance of your son, go for it. And then we go, why am I going through this trial? Because I'm trying to get you like my son. That's what you signed up for.
Really?
Yeah. Be like Jesus. So in essence, when you get to heaven, the Father goes, is that you, Jesus? Is that my son? Oh, no, it's Pastor Ben. Come on in. I got some good stuff for you up here, saved for you. Oh, man. So that's what it's about. It's that we become like his son. Paul's told us that through all his epistles, that we are to be like his son. Now, I don't know about you and the roadmap he's got for you, but for me, I would much rather bow the knee and want to and go for being like his son. And I'll never be like his son completely because I got all this flesh on me, I'm not talking about my weight. I got some of that too. But I got a lot of flesh. My heart, you know, the whole thing about circumcision is I want my heart to be circumcised because it's got so much flesh around it. And many times I don't act like Christ. I don't act like the Son of God. And I need to. And so that's the essence. And then if you become like him and you start becoming like him, there's some time in that metamorphosis after you go, yes, Lord, I want you to come into me and start this tremendous work of turning me into your son. Down the line, you get it and you go, I want others. See, you start loving the sheep, loving others. And you go, you know, I got a good friend over here. I got some people over here. And man, I don't want them to burn in hell. I want them, you know, even if you don't believe in hell, I want them to, you know, get what I got. Because man, I got something going on here. That's pretty awesome. Has anyone been touched by God? Hands? Go on. I mean, ever? I mean, I don't mean like touched. I mean like, you know, feel God. You reading this word? Of course. And I want that for other people. And so in that process of being like your son, of course, that then starts producing some fruit of sharing with others, sharing the love of God with others. And it's the love of God. It's not, you better get saved, you're going to hell. That don't sound like the love of God to me. I had that. I walked down the aisle when I was 12 years old, thinking that, man, if I didn't jump in that water, I was going to burn in hell. And I was really, really going to, I mean, man, people were going to, I mean, I had the wrong theology. It wasn't until I heard all about God's love for me that I really wanted to sign up and ask God into my heart, and I wanted to be more like him. And so that's the essence of our walk with God. Now, the ministry that we, after we're saved and we're beginning to be turned into the image of our Christ, and the Father knows that and he works with that, and because God is in us, Jesus is in us, when the Father looks at us, when we have those problems that we fall and mess up and go back and quit and then start again, he don't see any of that. He sees us as perfect. He goes, looks at us, he goes, oh, no. No, he's perfect. Pastor Ben, he's perfect. See, all I see in him is Jesus. Jesus is a great big filter, sin filter. And he has to wash it like every couple hours with me. I take that filter out. Okay, put the filter back in. And so, you know, he sees me as perfect. And so isn't that cool? But Jesus knows us. And the Father really does too, but he sees Jesus in us, the Bible says. And so Jesus works with us day by day, loving us, knowing our faults, knowing that we're just clay, knowing we're dust, knowing we're just pathetic, you know. The only thing good in us is him, really. And then he starts building that in us. And many times, it takes some falling. Some scrapes. When you ride your bike, when you first start riding the bike, didn't you fall occasionally? I know, I tried to roller skate 20,000 times. And I just like, I dust the rink. You know, just on my belly. All the time. I'm pathetic. But, you know, we keep getting up and he continues to put that in us. Now, as far as ministry, we all have a ministry. We have a ministry, I said before, to ourselves, right? We go, okay, Lord, I'm going to start learning more about you. At least I'm going to come to church. And now I'm going to start reading my Bible. I got a devotional. Maybe you have a study of some kind. And you continue to study and grow in the Lord. And each of you have your own path. Well, we have a story this morning. And you're saying, man, I'm glad he finally got to the story. I'm so tired of listening to him. We have a story this morning of that. And let me say this. Of someone that a person that really got with the program, really got going, and then He lost his cutting edge in the ministry he was in. Us losing our cutting edge? What would you say? Each of you can think right now. Think right now. How did I lose my cutting edge? Oh, I quit coming to church. Oh, I quit reading the God's word. Oh, I quit praying. Oh, I quit. I just start doing nothing. And then maybe, maybe because I don't want people to know that I've lost the cutting edge, my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, that I just keep acting like I've got the cutting edge. You ever done that, anybody? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you keep acting like you've got the cutting edge. And in here, it's like gone. You ever said, like, I'm just walking through the steps, but I don't feel nothing. It's a winter in your life. And you just continue to make noise, but there's nothing there. I've been there before. I've been there before. And so we're going to read now about someone that has went through that, and you might be going through that now. And if you aren't going through that now, I guarantee you, or haven't went through that, I guarantee you that God's going to allow you to go through those things. Why? To bring you closer, to sharpen your cutting edge even more. And so let's start this insightful study in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Hey, and one more thing before we start. There's people over here that say, I'm going to play it safe. I'm not going to really do anything different. I'm not going to change jobs. I'm just going to be so one foot in front of the other. I'm not going to venture out anything. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, and that's it. And I'm not going to do anything else to upset the apple cart. I'm not even going to go on vacation because something might happen on vacation, a flat tire or something. And then there's those that go, like Stan, elder here, Stan Ingram. I'm at the age of 62, I'm going to build a house. What? Are you crazy, Stan? Yeah, I'm going to get Bill Alston big. I'm a good. And I'm like, so I'm talking to him the other day, and he's into it a little bit now. And he's like, what did I do? Building a house, things like that are big stressors. And God rolls us his shirt sleeves. Oh, I'm glad you decided to build a house. Because I'm going to do some great things through this building house thing. You know, I'm really going to bring you and Amy, that's his wife, together, and you're really going to be tight, and you're going to go through stuff, but you're really going to grow in me. Building houses, moving, deaths in the family, divorces, things like that are stressors that will absolutely take you to the ground, try to eat you up. And so with that, 2 Kings chapter 6, you there? Yeah, give me a word. 1, 2, 3. You guys sure you're there? Now, I gave Kathy some time to look up. I don't know if you even got that chapter, because I completely switched on Kathy. It's okay. You guys have to really pay attention. And the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Give me your attention, please. Samuel started prophet school way back. Okay? And it was kind of like, I guess, Bible schools, seminaries, I don't know. Bible schools, seminaries. And so he started this way back. And when he died, Elijah continued them. And there was about six, I think. And let's see. He expanded them. He took one and went to six. And this was one of them. Jericho is one of them. Gilgal, Shiloh, Shechem, and Bethel. Not to mention this one here. And so they were going to this school of ministry, whatever school that might be for you. Again, it might be that you just wake up every day and you start reading your word. And things are cooking. They're cooking. Man, the things are, people's coming, and the buildings are being full, and I mean, this was the first building project of the church, probably. You ever have a building project? Well, of course. A house, or it may be a church is expanding and we need a building project. Well, this was going on. And they said, look, it's too small for us. Please let us first to go to Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. He answered, go. He said, so look, we need to rebuild. We need to build a big place down by the Jordan. There's water down there. We'll build a big college down there. It'll be cool. Let us go. First life lesson. If you're going to do something in ministry, I don't care what it is. You know, you go, read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible in a year. Okay? You know what you need to do first, foremost? Ask God about it. Now, I don't know why God would say not to, but let me tell you this. When you ask God, God, I'm going to read my Bible in a year. Okay? And he'll say, of course, go. Yes, do that. But then, okay, give me the perseverance to do that, Lord. You need to talk about the Lord when you start to do something. And not specifically or only because you want to get his okay, because most of the time, if it's a ministry, you can get his okay. But you see, it's to help me with this, to keep it on, keep going on, and have great fruit from this ministry. Anytime you start something in your life, when it comes to knowing Christ more, you need to do that. Now, one time I called, this is a little bit of an example, but it's kind of lame. I got a call from my daughter. She's here with us today. And she said, Dad, I got a great thing for a ministry. A great thing for the ministry, God. Dad, well, okay, honey, like I'm the father, you know, she's the... And I said, okay, what you got going? Well, let's see. We're going to buy a taco truck, and we're going to have all kinds of tacos, and we're going to go all around the United States and sell tacos to homeless people. I mean, give tacos to homeless people. He's asked me about a ministry. Great ministry. I'll give about Bibles. I'll tell them about Jesus and everything. I said, that's great, honey. Go for it. Dad, I need some money. Would you bake a roll for me? Or maybe Calvary can bake a roll for you, for me. She's not living here. She was living somewhere else. No, honey. I don't think that would be possible. Oh, come on, Dad. And she hit me up like for 3, 4, 5 months because of her heart. She just loves, you know, to minister to. So you have to run it by maybe not your heavenly, not your earthly father, but you got to run it by your heavenly father. Maybe it's not the proper thing to do, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying. You need some kind of validation from the Lord saying, look, Lord, I'm going to start doing this, and so please would you bless me. If you don't want me to do this, if this is a great ministry opportunity, but if you don't want me to do this, if you see something ahead of me that's really going to wreck or whatever, then don't let me do it. But if you are, this is good. And by the way, Lord, I'm talking to you about it. Just talk to him about it. Just like when Rachel called me and talked to me about it, bugged me for 3 months. Amen? We got that, right? But many of us just take off on something and we're going to do this and we don't ask God about it. Then the one that we're talking about, just put your name in there, sent to go with, excuse me, I didn't read that right. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. Number two, if you're taking notes, which I'm sure you're not, when you do ask and tell the Lord what you want to do, Lord, I want to do, read my Bible in a year. I want to work for the children's ministry. I want to, whatever it is. Will you go with me? I can't do this alone. God, will you go with me? Please go with me. We forget that sometimes. We go, yeah, this is a good thing. Yeah, we'll do this. Yeah, let's go out in the park. Let's do a big concert. Let's do this. Let's do that. And we forget to go, God, will you go with me? Many times we start, we go, whack, let's do this right here. And everybody's in agreement, the board, everybody's fired up, and the Lord's speaking to me and saying, yeah, this is a good thing. And then we go, okay, Lord, we got that confirmation here. Sit over here on the bench. We'll take it from here. Wrong. He needs to go with you in every single step. Every single step. In anything we do. And everything we do. And throughout the whole project that we do. And so, verse 4, he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Here they go. Man, they're cooking. They're cutting down trees. They're getting with the program. But as one, that same one, by the way, in the Hebrew, it means it's the same guy that was asking him to go with him. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water. Now, you have to understand something. Iron tools were not very common in that day. They were very, very important. They were usually borrowed from some wealthy individual. And if you lost it or something happened to it, it could cost you lots of money. And if you didn't have the money, you'd have to go work for them as a slave. Too bad I didn't tell my sons that. You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah. They'd be working for me forever. Dad, you ever have a bunch of tools and every son that comes along, decimates them, you know? Then you get another son, decimates them. Well, after my last son left, I've got a lot of tools. And they're still there. And so that's kind of a thing. And so he lost this thing. He was cutting down the tree. And he lost the cutting edge. It flew right off the handle. And usually when we do lose the cutting edge, we do fly off the handle sometimes, don't we? Fly off the handle of our wives or husbands, or we fly off the handle at God, maybe? God, I've had it with this man. God, I've had it with this house, with this job. And you just kind of fly off the handle and you go, that's it. I'm doing my own thing. I've been there. God, that's it. I've had it. You give me too much. You say you never give me too much to handle, but you give me too much to handle right now. God put Mike Callahan in my life so I would never say that again. Because every time I start complaining about life or my health, I remember Mike. God brings Mike to my remembrance of all the stuff he's going through. And you know, he's got huge medical problems, but it seems like with his heart, but it seems like every time I talk to him, now there's something else. And that's led to this. And now there's something over here. And he keeps smiling. Look at him. He looks like a peach, don't he? I love him to pieces. And so there's always someone you can look at. 1 Corinthians, write this down, read it later. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. You read that. That's Mike. So when we get done with this, you can go out with others and say, hey, man, are you losing the cutting edge? Yeah, I've lost it, man. I don't know what happened. Well, let me tell you how you can get it back. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4 is all about. So he lost the cutting edge, flew off the handle, was in the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Again, he made sure he let the master know it was borrowed because it was going to cost him some big bucks. Big bucks. Now, I don't know about you guys, but me, if I would have lost that, I would have went, nobody's seen it. And I just keep making noise on the tree with the axe handle. Just making noise. Making noise. Not doing nothing. Not cutting anything. Not accomplishing a thing. But I'm just making noise. You know, sometimes we do that. I know some, not Todd, not Pastor Todd, but I know worship leaders sometimes do that. They're leading worship, man, and they're just, you know, everything's cool, everything's good. And then there comes something in his life, or her life, that comes in, and the cutting edge is gone. I had a son that was a tremendous worship leader. And sometime through his career, the cutting edge, he lost the cutting edge. And as I think back, I can remember how he'd just get up and do worship. Oh, he was good. He relied on his talents, his abilities. They were great. Fantastic. But he would just get up and he would just do his thing and there was nothing there. Just make a noise. There wasn't anything to it. There's no substance to it. No chabad. By the way, I love that word. It's a word from the Hebrew that means substance. It means, you know, you got some weight in your britches. Like, you know, kind of like, see, little donkeys didn't have chabad when you're reading the Hebrew. These big oxen, they had great big, you know, hind ends, and they'd hunker down and pull that sled. You know, they had chabad. Pro football players, they hit that sled and drive that sled, and they look like mules. Chabad, you know. It's a word that it gives you substance. He lost his chabad. And he just make a noise. But not this guy. This guy knew where his bread was buttered, and he cried out immediately, "Alas, master." And of course, he was kind of worried about this. He did not want to spend time in prison or as a slave because he lost his cutting edge. He cried out and said, "Alas, master." For his world. Also, another thing that we can look here, spiritually speaking, is that what do we have that is our chabad that we rely on as Christians that is borrowed? Oh, come on, Mike, say it out loud. Yeah. The Bible says that God has loaned us, or he has deposited, given us a deposit of his Holy Spirit. And then when we get to heaven, you know, then we don't need it anymore. But right now, it's a seal that you are mine. It's a seal in our hearts that says, "You're mine. You're mine." I don't know how this is going to happen, but I really think God's got one of those detectors, like, you know, when you go into a concert and they stab your hand, you can't see it, but they put a light on. He's probably got this, okay, you're good. Oops. I don't know. You're trying to get in here free. But we have this Holy Spirit that's deposited in us, that's borrowed as well. The power. And sometimes we feel like we've lost the Holy Spirit. We have no power to do anything at all. We don't feel like praying. Amen? I mean, I've been there before. We have no power. There's no power in this life that we live for Christ. We feel like we've lost it. And so verse 6, "And so the man of God said, where did it fall?" I don't know about you guys, but every time that I've lost that cutting edge, and I cry out to God, as soon as I cry out to God, now, I'm a stubborn man, I'm a hard-headed man, so many times I just go, "No, I've lost the cutting edge." And then, you know, the Lord speaks to me in a mighty way finally, and my spirit within me says, "Yeah, you pretty much lost it." You know? And I go, okay. I just don't feel it anymore, Lord. Maybe it's back when I went on vacation and didn't read your word for 3 weeks, or maybe when I had some of these. And then, look, for me, I don't know about it. For me, when I'm on the mountaintop, I get that way. When I'm having problems, I'm in the valley, when my face is in the bottom of the creek bed in the lowest of the valley, that's when I need God the most. And I know I need God the most. I'm crying out to him, "God, please," you know, kind of thing. But when I'm kind of on everything's going good, man, we got great ties. We you know, everything's going, all the kids are behaving and they love Jesus and everything. Then sometimes I get a little complacent. And then when I finally ask God, "God, what's wrong with me? I just feel complacent. I feel..." You ever been like that, complacent? You ever felt like, you know, it's not there anymore. I just don't feel humdrum. I'm in the winter part of my life. It could be because you're building a house. It could be because you just went through a divorce. It could be because of the death of the family. It could be when my mother died, oh man, I went through some stuff. And my brother, too. I went through some stuff. But it could be any of those things. You could be moving and trying to get another job. I figured Lindsay and Todd, they're moving. You know, they're trying to get another, you know, Todd's looking for work down there, and Lindsay's like still talking to the people that the missions thing that she's going to be involved with, and they're looking, you know, and I can tell that not Todd so much. I'm going to tell on you, Lindsay. Sometimes she's up and sometimes she's down. You know, it depends on which house she found. Maybe just they could, you know, that's kind of what a woman does. But I can tell Todd he's pretty there. But, you know, I pray for Todd because there's going to be a time that Todd will get down too in this whole thing. It's a move. And so we go through this stuff and we look and go, man, where did my cutting edge go? And we cry out to God, and every single time God will come to you and show you where you lost it. You know that? He will show you where you dropped that thing. What were you doing in life? What was going on to where you... And it didn't have to be a long-term thing. It'd be a short-term thing. You ever lost your keys? How about your wallet? I had a really good friend of mine, Dave Godsey. He said he just lost his wallet. And he was telling me about the whole thing, you know. And I said, well, Dave, I lost my wallet about 3, 4, 5 times. Ask my mother-in-law, she'll tell you. And so I've lost it so many times and then found it so many times that I've got 2 or 3 duplicates of all my stuff. You know, that's not good. But every time that I've found it, just about, the Lord will bring me back to around where it was and show me where I lost it. He'll do that. If you ask him, if you're contrite, if you're broken, you go, Lord, where did I lose it? And he'll bring you right back and show you where you lost it. You know why he does that? So he can rub your nose in it? Anyone? No. You know why he does that? At least to me. So I'll remember it. So it makes a, you know, if someone just finds my wallet and goes, hey, here's your wallet here. I go, oh, thanks, man. Oh, yeah. But I don't remember how I lost it. Oh, I just found it over here somewhere. Oh, man, how did I do that? One time I lost it in my mother-in-law's car. And I looked through all the whole car. Couldn't find it. Well, Lindsay, my daughter, found it. And she found it in this real little place in the car. And I said, how'd you do that, Dad? And I remembered that how she showed me how I lost it. It's in my pocket there. And I remember it was falling out of my pocket. I had these crummy shorts on with deep pockets, and don't you guys hate those shorts that don't have deep pockets? You lose everything. So I'm like, here, I'll just put it down here. And now I remember because she showed me. You guys get, I think the term is smelling what I'm cooking here. You need to know where you lost it. And then you go, oh, yeah, that's right. And the next time, of course, the enemy always comes back with all kinds of other stuff, but the next time that dirt ball tries to get you to lose the cutting edge, you'll go, oh, man, I remember God showed me last time I lost it right there. I'm not doing that again. It's so important for us to know that God brings us back to where we lost it so we can repent and think about it and go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I was doing. I shouldn't have done that. I should have went to God first. And so the man, verse 6 of God, said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. That's what we do. Go, oh, Lord, I remember it right there. That's where it fell. That's where I fell. That's the time that I started going off the track. And he showed him the place. And so he cut off a stick and threw it in there and he made the iron float. What do you suppose the stick is a symbol of? The stick, there's the stick. The cross. In the Hebrew, Chaldean Hebrew, that's what it says. He cut off a stick. Because of the cross, there's infinite forgiveness. Infinite. And he don't care. He don't hold it against you like some of us do with others. He doesn't. He goes, oh, because of my cross, because of the cross, here it is. And it floated. That's a miracle. You know it's a miracle when your sins are forgiven like that? When you ask God and he goes, oh, here's where you lost the cutting edge and you get right back in it. That's a miracle. It really is. A miracle from God. He doesn't hold anything against you. He loves you. You're his kid. And because of the cross, man, because of the cross, he makes miracles happen in your life that you're going through stuff. And then you got this whole, heart thing going on. And then it softens. And then now things are all good and you repair it. And God's repaired it. And it's all good. And he forgives you. And it's all good again. And he makes a miracle in your life that you go, God, I made it through this horrible time. And it was only because of you. And that's a miracle. A modern day miracle. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Last life lesson point. Is it going to make you? Our God doesn't shows you where it is, makes it float. What a miracle. And there it sits, the cutting edge now. And then he doesn't grab your hand behind your back and force you to pick it back up. Right? That's what I said. He said, you pick it up. Now I showed you where you lost it. Now I've made the miracle for it to float again. And there's a cutting edge again. I've made this miracle of all things are good. There's a cutting edge. It's back, man. All you got to do is pick it up and put it on your... But I ain't going to make it. It's up to you. One last thought. I spent a lot of time in Flagstaff, Arizona. Met my wife there, Carla. And for a short period of 2 years, I cut wood for a living. I mean, every day I'd go out and cut cords of wood. I have 5 or 6 chainsaws. At first, it was kind of a novelty. I kind of liked it. But after a while, it was like, it's a hard work. Cords of wood. And at first, God blessed me. I sold 10 cords the first couple months. I mean, I was out there cutting everything down. The guy came up from Phoenix, Arizona. It was a novelty for him. He bought the wood and take it down and sell it to rich people and make a big amount of money. Well, he loaded up 10 cords of wood on all kinds of trailers, and he went down about it. I said, oh, man, I got all this money. I can take a week or two off. And then about a week later, he's up again. He goes, I need 10 more. I go, what? What? 10 more? What are you doing with that wood down there? He goes, I was going down the mountain and lost a whole load. Wow. So I had to cut 10 more. But anyway, cutting wood is hard. But one thing I do know, when you're heating with wood, it's cheap. Cheap. And I did it for years. And here's what, actually, I'd make Lindsay twist the paper to start the fire. And Rachel's too little. She didn't do nothing. But anyway, I think she'd hand me the kindling. But one thing I know, every day I'd have to chop some kindling. Take the wood out of the box, chop some kindling, keep the kindling there so I can start the fires the next morning. Every day. Now, here's the cutting edge. Here's the axe. Okay? After a while, I would feel that axe get kind of loose. Cutting it, get loose. get looser. I go, oh, it'll be good for another. And I sometimes even put a nail in it, the top of it, to keep it tight, and then it never get loose. Until one day, I was cutting, and it came off, just like the word says. It flew right off the handle, man. It almost killed me and hit the wall, almost hit it, broke the window and everything. And I went, oh, man, I don't know what to do about this. I'm perplexed. I really want to spend the money to go down and get a brand new one. Then I met this old timer. Ah, easy. Go down and get you another handle. $1.40. And he goes, and pound that thing on that cutting edge. And then get you a big bucket of water. And every time you feel that thing getting just a little loose, throw in a bucket of water and go in the house. The next day you come out and take it out of the bucket of water and be tired as a tick on a hound dog. Then when it starts to get a little looser, throw it up in a bucket of water again. Wow, how brilliant is that? So years later, when I become a pastor, I start looking at this going, you know what? How appropriate is that? When we start to lose our cutting edge, what do? We get into the water of God's Word. We get watered by His Word. We get watered by His fellowship. We get watered by prayer. That's the ticket. We start loosening up, goosey-loosey, and we start doing some things we shouldn't, and we start our thought life, and we start getting angry over stuff we shouldn't. Then you just go, oh, man. And you know what? We have people telling us we're getting loose, don't we? I know my wife tells me in a heartbeat I'm getting loose. And other people, your parents, people at church, your pastor, and you go, look, hey, get a little loose. Okay, I'm getting in the water. In that bucket of water, man. The next thing you know, God's Word will not come back void. It just happens. You start feeding your spirit. Now, I don't know if that's an appropriate story, but I think it is. Because it's true in the world and it's true in spirituality. The Word of God. The Word of God will tighten us up. And keep that cutting edge going. Keep that cutting edge going. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I see it. I'm picking it up. I'm going to pick it up. And I'm going to get back in the game. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God, and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.